The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now I'm joined by David Robert Grimes, a cancer researcher and physicist and author of The Irrational Ape, because we're going to talk about disinformation in this regular slot. David, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Let's talk Leo first. Have the conspiracy theorists been out yet?
Oh, they're always out. They never sleep. What has happened since is that they are presenting Leo's resignation, I'm using his first name very informal, they're presenting this as a defeat of wokeism. So they have now portrayed him as someone that is pro-immigrant, pro-gay rights, which arguably is true. The first one maybe, there's arguments on the other one. And they're saying this, they're putting this as a kind of societal battle, which they have somehow won. And the conspiracy theory is that they have toppled him because he was too woke. Now, that is a really good example of narrative framing. What they're trying to do is take a series of events and fit it into an existing canon that they have built in their heads. This good versus bad narrative. Now, you might argue which side is good or bad, but us versus them. And they have very much put this event, which has, we don't know the reasons exactly. They're speculative, but they have now very much firmly adopted that.
Now, is that all, though? There's nothing more sinister. Like, he's outspoken on Gaza, so people were out to get him.
That framing has been put out there as well. I've seen that sometimes in international media. I've been looking this morning, and it is a health warning when you go through things like the platform formerly known as Twitter, the artist formerly known as Twitter. If you go through that, health warning on that, there's a lot of nasty stuff. But the invective does, from the Irish cohort, seem to be, oh, he supported immigrants, and that's why we're kicking him out. There's a very unhealthy and malignant anti-immigrant conspiracy theory network that comes out of Ireland that does a lot of this. Internationally, there has been a few people saying, oh, it's because he supported Gaza. But again, this is all narrative framing. This is all people attempting, and it is inherent in all conspiracy theories that you try to fit events to your model, not your model to
it's
events.
It's interesting that, you know, Leo's outspoken on Gaza to a point when he speaks to Biden and so on. But within the United States, Chuck Schumer is outspoken on Gaza and feels that the United States should make Israel moderate its stance. And within Israel itself, there's an anti-war movement. So, you know, he's not an isolated voice.
He's not an outlier. And this is the thing about conspiracy theories. They don't actually really explain reality. They are convenient narratives that people try to fit things into. And that's what we're seeing here an awful lot.
Now, there's another Irish lie that's going around, and that's about the Quran. Tell me this one.
So, on the 19th of March, a tweet went Irish viral claiming that a student had been forced in school to read the Quran, and when they refused to do so, they were told they were from a family of racists. And this got picked up by the usual accounts. People were outraged. This is horrible. But it is a really good case study, because if people had spent a little bit more time reflecting rather than reacting, they would have seen it was almost certainly a lie. The first thing is, the account that was posting this was created in February, so just a month ago, and all it has done up until now is post anti-Muslim rhetoric. So it's very convenient that suddenly it does this. It also at one stage claims, we've emailed the school, we're outraged. And when people asked for a follow-up, they said, actually, we can't email the school. There was loads of red flags there, but they relied on people reacting. And this is what a lot of disinformation, it's almost certainly false. And of course, they didn't specify where they're from, what area.
So we don't know the school, we don't know the name of the student, we don't know
but
anything.
But people still engage with it. And that's where this stuff can really propagate and disseminate. It's because people engage with it before taking a little bit of critical thought to go, is this likely true? Or could I just get a few more facts before I take a stance on this?
But it's what some people want to hear, so therefore they don't question it.
As Paul Simon said, all lies and jest, still the man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. And we are very prone to that. That's a thing called confirmation bias or motivated reasoning, where we will literally cherry pick the narratives that suit us and then try to bend reality to those facts. Of course, that's not how reality works, but we have that psychological, you know, directive to do that.
Now, I want to go back to vaccination, because recently, yesterday, the story about Bolsonaro, a former president of Brazil, has been indicted for falsifying the vaccine records of him and his family. I presume they weren't vaccinated. Remember, he got COVID, actually, at one point.
He did, yeah.
Anyway, he's been indicted by a political enemy, the now president, or the administration run by that president. But there's all sorts of vaccination stuff still going on, and we can look to Florida, for instance.
Yeah, yeah. So for Bolsonaro, couldn't happen to a nicer person, we might say. But Florida most recently has appointed, under Ron DeSantis, a state surgeon general who is decidedly anti-vaccine. I wrote about him in Scientific American this week.
Now, tell me about his qualifications. I mean, a surgeon general, he's got to be a doctor.
He's a Harvard qualified doctor. But just because one is in a position of authority that they're a doctor or a scientist does not a priori mean that they are speaking the truth. Scientific consensus is based on evidence. It's not based on one's individual credentials. However, to the public, because we use someone's credentials as shorthand for whether we should rely on them or not, someone like the Florida State Surgeon General can do an awful lot of damage because they sit there with that credibility, that veneer of credibility that makes people go, well, they must know what they're talking about. Now, this guy is in defiance of the CDC. He's ignoring public health measures. And this is particularly bad because Florida is being gripped by a measles outbreak. And instead of doing the recommended health precautions. Measles, incredibly infectious. Every one case gives rise to 12 to 18 other cases. This is why we need a really high vaccination rate. Not only has he been undermining vaccination, he's also basically saying, oh, just mix how you want. It'll probably be fine. Of course, this is a disease that still can kill people.
Yeah.
And measles vaccination prevents about a million deaths a year.
I mean,
just to put it in
obviously during the COVID pandemic, we were talking about herd immunity. If enough people get COVID, eventually we'll all have herd immunity.
Or we'll be dead.
And indeed, many thousands of people died.
Absolutely. We've seen in America over a million people died. America's a weird case because America's so polarized. For example, we had a very high vaccine uptake here and we had relatively low deaths in the pandemic. And we had quite strong lockdown measures because our health service is quite overwhelmed. But in America, only about 60-ish to 70% of different states got vaccinated, which means they had a much higher burden. And you see that in their mortality. They lost about a million people, and that's a conservative estimate.
Yeah.
That is a significant amount of people to lose.
So what is this guy actually saying in Florida? Is he saying that vaccination is dangerous?
Yes, he has. One of the things he's been in taken up for and outraged scientists with is Florida's own data shows the vaccine is very, very safe. He was caught red-handed manipulating that data to try and present a picture that vaccination is dangerous. But the reason he was appointed to political office by Ron DeSantis was because Ron DeSantis had similar views. Ron DeSantis had this idea of health liberalism. We don't want anyone to tell us what to do. This very libertarian view on health. And also kind of
like die if you want to.
Exactly. Yeah. Freedom to die. Live free or die, or do both, perhaps. But the problem with that, of course, is that's not evidence-based. So he appointed the state surgeon general because it echoed his viewpoints. It was narrative cohesive for him, but it's hugely damaging because reality doesn't care an iota for what we actually
believe.
The
states have incredible autonomy, as we know. I mean, the Lone Star State of Texas, for example, I mean, they're talking about going back to perhaps being an independent nation. This kind of talk is gathering pace.
Someone says Texas is the cork, you know, like a cork in Ireland. It's always going to go independent one day.
Yeah, but the federal government therefore can have no influence on this rogue surgeon general.
They really can't, and that's part of the way the states were set up as United States, and it's all very federalized. But on that level, they have a complete autonomy. They can do what they want. The state, there is a surgeon general of the United States. But I think it's five different states have their own state surgeon general. And it's now, unfortunately, we've now demonstrated in this case that it can be a political appointee that's put into that role way beyond their merits, by the way. He was not a particularly outstanding selection. He was put in that role because, as Ron DeSantis said, he was the only doctor that would agree with me. That is the wrong way to do evidence-based healthcare. That is backwards.
Okay, so the Surgeon General of the United States has no influence. Is it likely that people maybe who've been damaged by measles might take an action, or who've lost
if they're still alive, they might. Yeah. But I would say no, or I would say they'd find it very hard to do so. It is the weirdly polarized political environment the United States is in, and that's one of the big problems with disinformation and conspiracy theory. It makes us increasingly polarized. We start only picking experts that echo our viewpoints. We saw that during the pandemic, that you could go online and find any ostensibly qualified person that would echo whatever you already believed, and then we put them on pedestals. What is thrown away in that baby and bathwater situation is that evidence matters. It doesn't matter who says it. It matters that it is evidence-based. And unfortunately, if we use this for shorthand without considering that, we become more polarized and we listen less and less to the evidence and more to the demagogues.
Where are we going at all? David Robert Grimes, cancer researcher, physicist, author of The Irrational Ape. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.